Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Future Ready Student Voices podcast. I'm Jake Grandusky, and today I'm joined by fellow program hosts Aaron Nielsen, Debbie Brannon, and Nate Grandusky. As the school year concludes, we decide that for this episode, we will be answering any questions that one may have regarding in the sphere of education, whether it be anything related to the next steps after high school, how to prepare for senior year, and how to prepare for college applications, as well as anything else in the area. So to start off, we have some questions for Nate. Besides being my brother, Nate is also a senior at Riverview High School and will be attending Florida State University. My initial question for you, Nate, is when is the best time to tour colleges?
For me, I would say that touring colleges would be the best sometime during your junior year or during your summer going into your junior year, because I feel like once you tour some like of your in-state schools, for example, you have a good viewpoint of where you should apply for the fall of your senior year. So getting a good viewpoint early, I feel like, is the best opportunity to go.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, gaining a feel for the campus is a pivotal step towards envisioning whether or not a school is a good fit or destination for you. Mm-hmm. So Nate, my next question is, how do I evaluate what colleges are the best fit for me?
So for me, I would check like the school's like academic prestige or like some of the stuff they have on campus. If you're more of like a frat or sorority person, you can look at those opportunities. If you're looking for more of a major, like more of a place that fits your major, you can do that for your school. Or if you're looking for a climate, like if you're looking for somewhere in the cold, or if you're looking to stay somewhere in the south where it's like hot, for example, you can do that as well. Just trying to find the best school for you early, I would say, is some of the bigger factors involved.
Thanks, Nate. So the process of selecting your college is one that's very detailed, and you not only have to consider the odds of admission, but also the price, whether or not they have their desired major, as well as how far from home the school might be. Just very important things to consider. So staying on this topic of college and how to prepare for the application process, I have a question for Debbie. Debbie is a senior at the State College of Florida Collegiate Campus School in Venice and will be attending FSU in the fall. Debbie, I heard that recently you're in the process of helping your sister out with her Common App. For those who may be unfamiliar, the Common App is basically an online portal that is a singular website which holds all of your college applications. Debbie, what was this process like, especially now that you may be filling out a Common application from a different perspective?
Yeah, Common App was definitely made my experience easier because it made everything in one spot. So you could fill out like everything that you needed for your college applications in the Common App and then just transfer that into the colleges that you put into your Common App. I think going over it with my sister, she's in her junior year of high school. And I think that was really important because starting early, like what Nate said, starting early is really important for looking at colleges and also college applications. So she started her Common App in her junior year and I started my Common App in my junior year as well. I think that was really important for the college application process. And also I wrote my essay early. I am such a procrastinator, but when it comes to this, like I feel like it's really important to know where you're applying early and then also to go through the steps of the application early as well. Because I didn't have to worry about my essay or any of that little stuff like putting in my personal information, which made it a lot easier once I got to my senior year to actually do that, which is what I'm hoping for my sister as well.
Yeah, I know. Me and Nate, we did something similar to that where we spent a lot of time our summer going to our senior year just filling out our Common App. It's really helpful to do that and just make sure that you're ahead so that you're not getting beat by time. So that like you're not going to be stressing that your Common App is going to be a quality application for these colleges to see. So you know, I also heard that you're taking part in dual enrollment over at the SCF campus down there in Venice as well. So how have you managed this challenge of a double curriculum and what do you recommend to other students in Sarasota County?
Yeah, at first it was definitely a challenge because I had to go in between my high school and my college classes because I started when I was in 10th grade. I had took one college class a semester in 10th grade. So I was going from my high school to the college and then back to high school. And it was definitely a challenge trying to balance that. But for my school specifically, we went almost completely college after 10th grade. So my 11th grade and my 12th grade was almost completely college. And we are currently taking only one high school class for that curriculum, which I think is definitely helpful. I would definitely recommend that because it's a lot less money for sure. I'm going to graduate with my associate's degree a day after I graduate high school in a few weeks. And I didn't have to pay for any of that. So it was really helpful financial wise and also School-wise, it was a fun experience because it was definitely something very new that I hadn't really known anything about. My school specifically, I'm only the second graduating class that ever did that program. Class of 2025 was the first. So it's definitely new and definitely a little bit of a challenge to get into that, as well as staying in it because it's definitely rigorous. But I would definitely recommend it as well because it helps financially. And if you get your associate's degree, then you can just go on to the workforce.
Yeah, I appreciate your insight on that, Debbie. I know Riverview have like pre-IB and then IB and then Sarasota, they have ACE. Maybe some people want to do a different route than that. And so it's important for people to understand that there are other pathways for their other interests as well. So lastly, I have a question for Aaron Nielsen. Aaron is a senior at Riverview High School and will be attending Rice University in Houston this fall. Besides taking multiple AP and IB classes over the past few years, Aaron is heavily involved in student government at RHS, being the president of student council while also leading several clubs on campus. Outside of school, Aaron also works as a student representative for the Class of 2026 on the Education Foundation's Board of Directors. Aaron, my question for you is, so how important are extracurriculars and student involvement for a college application, and what specific activities would you recommend for other students with large college aspirations?
You know, how I kind of saw extracurriculars in high school, it really came down to in freshman year and really the beginning of sophomore year, you explore your interests, right? So that means trying all these different clubs on campus, trying volunteering outside of school, trying different sports, seeing what you like to do. And then once you've found what you like to do, you really narrow in and you do something called like finding your niche. Because when you're applying to these colleges, they really like to see not necessarily devoted to one thing, but devoted to something that you actually want to study in college and want to see that continuity, right? So finding your niche and developing that niche is really important in high school. And one of the best ways you can do that is through your extracurriculars. So freshman and sophomore year, you explore your interests. By the end of sophomore year, you really want to start nailing down on like leadership, what clubs you want to do to really focus on. Junior year is a really big year, not only for classes, but also for extracurriculars. Really, the way that I kind of approach a lot of my clubs was I see how it's run. What can we do better and how can we implement that? And we really went far and with that mindset of having that growth mindset of trying to improve every single thing that we did. And that's what we did. And so junior year was really devoted a lot to fundraising and event planning and winning competitions and stuff like that. That really beefs up your application. I mean, I didn't do it because I wanted to look good on college, but I did it because I love it. As a side note, it really does help on your college. And then senior year, honestly, that's where you're summarizing everything because you're really submitting those applications October, November, December, maybe. So really, you want to have everything done by September. You know, honestly, like, you know, people are applying to leadership at the end of their junior year. I honestly think that you'd really want to lock in on your leadership at the end of sophomore year because, okay, you're student body president for your senior year, but you don't have anything to report on that to colleges. You know, a lot of people ask me, they're like, well, what can I do to strengthen my application? And what kind of extracurriculars? That was the second part of your question there was what kind of extracurriculars? What kind of student involvement? And that really depends on what you want to do. If you are a pre-med, like I know a lot of pre-med kids who are volunteering at the hospital or are getting EMT certified or stuff like that. For me, as someone who's trying to go into political science, student government was essential. Social studies clubs were essential. So it really depends on that. Volunteering is great. Service-based stuff is always great. Academic competitions and research are also great as well. At the end of the day, it's just about trying to find what you like to do and doing as much as you can in high school to kind of show these admission officers who you are and why you deserve to be on campus.
Thank you for sharing, Aaron. Spending your time intentionally not only looks good for your college resume, but also fosters a strong community, which I've witnessed firsthand with your leadership in RHS's History Bowl Club.
Yeah.
You've led like quite a community over there. And
yeah,
I think you're going to left it better than you came into it.
Definitely.
If I may, I really, really like what you said about that. I fully agree. I think that it's really important that colleges see that you have leadership. So just trying to get into those leadership positions definitely helps.
And the other thing is that it's not just the title. Like I know a lot of people just will try to go for president, vice president, because, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this would look so good on my college. But the titles actually mean nothing. You can do so much more, even as a member, if you just take initiative and kind of push yourself. I've seen so many people who weren't on leadership, but did more than half the leadership team because they wanted to get involved. And that really shows the people, like the president, the vice president, and even the sponsors, that you want to get involved in that. And that looks great. That's great.
Yeah, just setting initiative and just, as you said, pursuing something, pursuing your niche, something that you just really are passionate about, having interest about, is something that like, the colleges will ultimately see and will be happy and pleased about.
And then Jake, sorry to interrupt. And I wanted to add on to the extracurriculars and leadership. And I just want to talk about what I did for my leadership. Like I was a part of the Boys and Girls Club with Jake this past summer for their Boys and Girls Club. It's basically like a service project event where you do like 2 weekly sessions that are like 5 hours each. And you go over like leadership lectures, like voting, guest speakers coming in. We did different like lunch banquets where speakers came in. And it was just like a really helpful event that we did. And then our junior year, we did an event with the Chamber of Commerce where they have a youth leadership program. And that was where we actually went to different sites along Sarasota County, like the airport, police stations, you know, the EMT station, right? I want to say, and ABC 7, where we actually went earlier this year. That is a really good piece on your resume because you can get away with having a lesser SAT score if you have really strong extracurriculars and leadership.
And that was the STAR program at the Boys and Girls Club, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for any sophomores who are maybe struggling to find their niche or to really find a spot on a school board, like in a school club or something that tune to find leadership in, I'd heavily recommend to join that Sarasota Youth Leadership Program over at the Chamber of Commerce because, first of all, it really just allows you and opens your eyes to see how the town is operating and who is behind that all. You get to see like adults who are able to be professionals in their field and really provide insight into what actually goes on around town. And really also it provides valuable experience in that aspect as well.
I also wanted to add, like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. It might be nerve-wracking and scary to like try new things, but definitely at the beginning of high school and even like later in high school and even college and stuff, it's important to like put yourself out there and you never know what you'll learn and what you'll be able to do. So I think it's important to put yourself out there and don't be afraid to try new things.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. That's a very good point. All right, y'all. So I have a question for the group regarding test scores. You know, it's a very important aspect of the college resume. We've all spent time over the past 2 years preparing for and taking tests, whether it be the SAT or ACT, inside or outside of school. So I just wanted to ask you guys, what is this testing experience like and what preparation aspects would you recommend for younger students?
So in my experience, I took the SAT first when I was in my junior year. Honestly, it was my favorite out of the options that were given. I think, for lack of a better word, there's a system that you can use on the SAT to like know questions and know how to answer the questions more. Like, the more you practice these types of questions, the more you'll be able to answer these types of questions, which is really helpful for, that's what I used to study, was I just did so many practice tests over and over and over again. And honestly, I didn't do the best that I could on the SAT, but it was my favorite out of the ones that I took. Because the ACT, honestly, I did not like the ACT at all. But the SAT wasn't too bad.
So what you're basically saying is like there's a formula to it. And as long as you both learn the actual skills involved as well as how the test works, then you can get that edge in getting extra points.
Yes.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I feel like I took the SAT and ACT both 4 times each. And I would say the SAT definitely has some kind of like structured like that to it. Honestly, for me, I feel like they were about equal. My test scores ended up being about equal. And I ended up submitting both of them because they were very comparable scores. Especially since now, I mean, during our senior year, they changed it. So now the science is optional, it's shorter. And I only took one of the changed ACTs. I wish I kind of had more of an opportunity to do that. But I feel like the changed one was easier. So I don't really know how it compares now. But I think for preparing for it, like we've been saying, it's just start early. I took my first SAT at the end of sophomore year. And I feel like that was really, really key to my success in that. Was that start of sophomore year, even as just like a baseline. You don't have to study super hard for your sophomore year. But Khan Academy is huge. Do Khan Academy. They've got a free course. Grind out every single unit because they've got some great content on there. Same thing with like IXL, you know, you can get a private tutor. There's some great private tutors out there. And the Education Foundation also has great workshops specifically for ACT, SAT, that they literally go into schools, and we have great tutors and success coaches for that.
Yeah, I know myself, like Nate and I, we went to some of these like ACT workshops during sophomore year, I believe it was. And that definitely helped us out. There's a lot of tools that they give out for free, I believe. So it's definitely a good option there as well. You get that test, and if you prepare for it or just have a good test, that's going to be very good for you on your for your college and for your time.
Yeah, so for me, I started, like Jake, with the ACT workshop in the Downtown Education Foundation workshops, and they started at like 7:30 a.m. We had to get up really early to go to them, and they were really good. They were like 2 or 3 Saturdays in a row, I want to say, and then we took it like in March. And for me, the ACT wasn't really my highest score. I got like a 21 for my highest, so not my best showing. And then for the SAT, I took my first one like in April of 2 years ago, so my sophomore year. And that was, it was better than my ACT. And over time, I just knew that the SAT was my better score. And the last one I took was in my junior year, and I ended up getting a 1250. And for me, I just did a lot of like tutoring going to my junior year. And then we just did like a bunch of math problems and stuff like that. So I would just say like do a bunch of problems, figure out what test is the best for you and just go from there.
And as someone who actually went down from my second SAT to my third and my fourth, don't sweat it too hard. Like it can be really disappointing when you open that test screen and you see your score drops 120 points like it did for me. And it sucks, but it's not the end of the world. You know, you just kind of have to be like, okay, let's do it again, like kind of thing. And at the end of the day, you'll thank yourself for the effort that you put into that.
Yeah, I've definitely been there as well, where it's been a little discouraging spending all that time and not seeing the results. But as long as you just put in that intentional, dedicated time and really just put the effort in, focus on things you may have been not as strong in, definitely hopefully can see a change in points for sure. I know me personally, I spent a lot of time doing like the Blue Book practice tests and stuff like that. I know Khan Academy, I worked on some of that for like some of these workshops as well. There's some good tools out there for sure.
Now, don't forget about Math Chops, Jake.
Math Chops, yeah.
Oh,
it's definitely an option out there. It's definitely something you can try out for math. All right, anything else we want to cover today?
Nate's done.
Actually, really quick, I just wanted to add, with the Common App and what we were talking about with extracurriculars, it's super important to like make sure you fill out the whole thing as much as you can, because when I went to do my Common App, I wasn't going to put as much as I did, but then I did more research on like the Common App and what they're looking for, and I decided to fill up all 10, because if you really like think about all of your high school and like all you do in your high school, you can come up with activities that and extracurriculars that you wouldn't even think of. Like I was in cheer in my freshman year and I just fully forgot about it until my mom was like, weren't you in cheer? And I was like, oh yeah, I was. And so I added that on there because it was like a really good experience for me. I just like forgot that I could put that on there because I did it in 9th grade. So you want to make sure that you fill it out to the brink so that it really shows everything that you've done and everything that you can do.
Trying to make sure that you have 10 that can really show that you're a well-rounded individual.
And then I'm going to add on to that. Another thing that I would say to add to your Common application, even if the colleges don't mention it, I would say do a resume. Like kind of go on like a Word document and list all of like your academics that you've done, your extracurriculars, you know, your volunteer opportunities, all of that, and make like a giant resume, because the colleges, it's just an easier condensed form that they can see of all the stuff that you've done. Like I know Florida State, for example, where I'm going in the fall, they recommended to do a resume. I don't know about the other colleges. I'm pretty sure UCF was another one that made you do a resume, but I think it's a really helpful thing to add in your application to like stand out a little bit, to show to colleges like, hey, this kid put in the time, he put in the effort in his application. And it also helps with scholarships later down the road, because a lot of scholarships do ask for a resume. And if you already have it done in your Common App, you can implement it into those scholarships.
Yeah. The other thing is that for students who maybe don't have the opportunity to stay every day after school to do clubs, or they have to take care of a younger sibling, or have to work to supplement their parents' income, you can also put that in your activities. And I would recommend anyone who's in that situation to do that. There are places on the Common App where you can indicate, I did, you know, babysitting for my younger siblings, I took care of my elderly parents, stuff like that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the colleges are really just trying to see who you are and what you have done with your time. And there's literally no shame in saying, I worked X amount to help my family. I babysat my younger sibling, because that shows leadership, that shows growth, that shows initiative. That is absolutely something that I recommend putting in.
As we conclude this episode, I want to say that it was a pleasure being able to interview the three of y'all, and it was amazing being able to hear your individual perspectives on some important steps of the high school journey. To all our listeners, it's been a blast being able to be a part of the Future Ready Student Voices podcast. Thank you for your support here in this inaugural season of this podcast. You can reach us on Spotify, as well as our website, educationfoundationsrq.org. With that being said, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next season.